I got this email this week from a listener. Said, John, I especially like when Dr. Most is on the radio talking about COVID. He helps make things easier. I'd like to ask a question. My daughter got COVID last year. She's never been hospitalized for it. She did lose her sense of taste and smell. She has been without it for 267 days. It's taking a toll on her mentally and emotionally. I'd appreciate any help. Signed, Tracy. Tracy, I'm glad you reached out to us in that email. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much for reaching back to me.
How old is your daughter?
She's 32 years old.
So does she have zero taste and smell?
Well, she has been fully vaccinated, and she has gotten a little bit of a smell here and there and a little bit of a taste here and there, but it's almost basically gone.
Tantalizing that way, too. Like, oh, there it is. Is it coming back? And then it doesn't, huh?
Exactly.
So does she still eat food like she normally did? I mean, I understand a little bit about this. The whole experience is different now, right?
It is. Yes.
Has she tried anything to reclaim her taste or smell?
She has recently started doing the, I think it's called the smell training. And then she did try that. There's this orange, burnt orange thing going around. She did try that, and so
neither of them.
We're hoping that the go ahead.
Well, for some people, I mean, you've heard those stories. It's a shame that it's not universal. The burnt orange test actually is transformative for some people, like right away, but not for your daughter.
No, not for her.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us here on WGN Radio. You know him from Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, you're listening to this conversation. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say, sir?
Yeah, Tracy, you know, I'm sorry. This is obviously not a side effect that anybody would like. You know, and you kind of hit it on the head, John. You know, the combination of taste and smell together gives us a perception of flavor. So that is what is missing in all these people. So we have nerves, olfactory nerves, nerves that allow us to smell. We have taste buds on our tongue. And for some reason, this virus is really impacting it. So as far as, you know, some of the things, certainly I would hope that their doctor at least tried a round of steroids. You know, that's one thing that we have seen that may help. Maybe inflammation around one of these nerves, taking some steroids may slow it down. But really, I'll tell you, it's amazing how many people have had the loss of taste and smell, and how long it has continued.
Have you tried anything like that, Tracy? Has your daughter tried steroids?
No, she has not.
So what's happening here, doctor? I mean, it's so weird. Who did you anticipate that this, granted, it's airborne, it goes through our nose, and our nose is a big factor in our taste and smell, but did you all anticipate that it would compromise people's taste and smell this way?
Not at all. If you remember early on, it was one of the early signs, even for people who were asymptomatic, if they lost their sense of taste and smell, we said, you test you for COVID because chances are you have it. So it was something out of the blue. Remember, we all thought this was a respiratory illness like influenza. And now we're seeing the impact of it on the neurologic with people with cognitive and brain fog. We're seeing in the heart the damage it can do. We're seeing the lungs the damage it can do. Tracy, the other thing you could do is you could reach out to Northwestern. We are building clinics right now for the long haulers. So the neurologic portion of it, the cardiac portion of it, the pulmonary, those individuals who are having persistent symptoms, right now they're so scattered that you really can't get a clinical trial. You can't do good histories. You can't start to look for trends. So Northwestern has put that in place, and you can certainly go right on the website, and it's right there to get her into the clinic.
That's what I was thinking, that somebody, like, we're doing all of these things, like how to treat the symptoms and how to come up with a vaccine, but there needs to be a smell and taste institute at some place that's just going to handle the rush of people that are suffering this specific set of symptoms. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. You know, it's you start doing smelling and tasting. You know, it's going to be something that we're going to have to get a large group of people to try different medications, different processes. Because right now, sure, you know, the burnt orange, You know, that's anecdotal, but it came from that great scientific journal, TikTok. So we really, you know, have to be careful about some of these homemade remedies and whether they work or not.
Well, let me do this. My number is 312-981-7200. If you've suffered similar circumstances or maybe have another idea, I'm all ears. And I'm also curious about Tracy's daughter, if she has had other symptoms. Would that maybe be telling? And then finally, doctor, do you think eventually the brain repairs itself, that in time people will get out of the woods on this? Answers to all of that coming up. One of our listeners' daughters been going on a year now, no taste or smell thanks to COVID. And so we asked Tracy to join us with Dr. Kevin Most, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Tracy, did your daughter have other symptoms?
She does have the brain fog.
Say that one more time, Tracy. I'm sorry.
She has the brain fog.
Really? How yes. Problematic is that? What's that like for her?
Well, she can be writing and she knows what she wants to say, but it just comes out totally different.
Does she work? How has this impacted her life on a day-to-day basis?
She does work, and then she's also a writer.
Oh, gee.
So it's really impacting her.
Promise me she's not a food writer.
No, she's not.
I mean, good Lord. Doctor, do the symptoms tend to pair up like that? Like if you have brain fog, you probably have loss of taste?
Yeah, John, you know what's really interesting with the people with loss of taste and smell? These are the people that had very mild symptoms. In other words, the people that you're hearing going into the hospital, put in ventilators, recovering from that, they're not the ones that are having this taste of, or loss of taste and smell. It's the people that are pretty much asymptomatic or have minor illnesses. Mm. Interesting what she just said, though, about the brain fog, because as we know, nerves connect to the brain, and that's one of the concerns, is that the loss of taste and smell affecting the nerve and cognitive or headaches in those conditions, we're seeing many of those pair up. We know that some nerves love to travel, we know that some viruses love to travel along nerves. Anybody who has had shingles before knows that the virus just travels right along the nerve and causes inflammation. One of the things that they're looking at right now.
Do you think that this will eventually go away, doctor?
You know, in some people, the neurons will regenerate. In other words, they will repair themselves and move on. Others, I'm afraid, we're going to have more and more people that are going to have permanent loss of taste or smell. And in those cases, you know, people are, as we teach them, you know, if we can't regenerate those, we're going to teach them the importance of texture in food and how important that is, because people will still feel hungry. It's not like this is a great way to lose weight, but certainly we want to make sure that it's as enjoyable as possible within the science that we can do.
Is there any way to know who's who?
No, it's not. And it's like I said, it's the people that were almost totally asymptomatic in some cases accept this. So can't figure out, that's the importance of getting all these people in the same clinics. So you could say, okay, genetically, is there a reason for this? Mm-hmm. Occupationally or environmental exposure, is there a reason for this? As you start to get greater numbers, now you start to understand, and you can now actually make your treatment process based on the results of larger numbers. So it's gathering the information right now on those individuals who have those symptoms. And that's the importance. Vanderbilt has a very big study going on right now. And then, you know, like I said, Northwestern has the clinics as well.
Clinics as well. I mean, is it one place that's dedicating itself to this? How can people access this?
Yeah, if you go on to nm.org, you certainly can do it. And it's not just one clinic, because they're focusing on tell me what your symptoms are, right? So this one would end up in the neurology COVID clinic. They don't have a heart problem. They don't have a pulmonary problem. So we want to make sure we're getting them to the right experts instead of just sending them to one clinic and having them see a generic physician. We're having the experts behind the field in the right places.
So I'm sorry, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, doctor,
yeah.
But are you saying if I go to nm.org, but I'm not going to see a big button, loss of taste or smell, click here. So how do you suggest I navigate this?
Yeah, you should go to nm.org. It's like COVID, it's not long haulers, but it's, you know, COVID clinic.
Yeah. Really, there is. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll even check with you later on about that next week just to...
I'll get you the exact link. Yep.
Yeah, fair enough.
Should have had it for you today. I apologize.
Well, that's quite all right. But Tracy, I hope some of this is helpful to you. Has your daughter lost a sense of hearing by any chance?
No, she has not. It's just been the taste, the smell, and the brain fog.
Yeah, wow.
And it's just so frustrating because we are a family that when this started, we have followed everything. I mean, she has been so careful, and we just don't even know how she got this.
And you say that her symptoms weren't severe otherwise. I mean, this was the one, huh?
Yeah, she just had a slight cold, and it went away, and then it was like all of a sudden her taste and smell were gone, and she just thought, okay, she had to go get tested, and this is how we found out.
And that was me too, Tracy. So I slight cold, and then I lost my taste and smell for a day and a half, and then I came back. And doctor, I'll bet you don't know why I got my taste and her daughter did not.
No, you know, we're wondering. We're still saying, is it the viral load? Is it where it settled? Is it we don't know. We don't know environmentally or genetically why it appears to impact some people not only greater but also for a long period of time. Some people, it's like, oh, kind of had this loss of muted taste, but it came back after a couple of weeks. And others, you know, to Tracy's daughter, you know, she's going on a year almost. So going back, don't beat yourself up for not knowing how she got exposed. Right. If you go back 200 days, we're living in a different world than we're living right now. And as we learned more, so it's unfortunate that it happened, but I wouldn't beat yourself up on that.
I know exactly how and when I got mine. And if I were to do that today, I would think, how stupid is that, John? Of course you're going to get COVID or spread COVID in an environment like that. But it was last March, and we didn't know. Might have even been trying to remember what the exact date was. I remember the event, and maybe it was in February. John, not sure if I may have had COVID. I was never tested, but I had a sudden loss of hearing last month. All is good now, but wow. I don't know what that was. You're not attributing that to COVID generally, are you, doctor?
No, not at all. Yeah. No, not hearing at all. Fortunate that it came back quickly. That can often be caused by a virus. It can be caused by inflammation in the inner ear, especially if you had dizziness associated with that loss of hearing. But great that it came back. He still may have had COVID in the past just from an asymptomatic, and if he'd like to know, he certainly can go get antibody tested.
Well, so Laura, your son, I'm taking another call now. Tracy, if you don't mind, just stay there. Laura, you're on WGN. What happened at your place?
Well, my son got COVID last September, and then I got it from him 2 days later, and he was a really unusual case. They even had him go to disease specialist. He works in the healthcare industry, so he couldn't go back to work, and he ended up testing positive for 2 months straight, and he had symptoms, even though they were mild, throughout that time that could be attributed to it. He kept getting tested. He kept getting positive, and they said, well, if you get tested and you have antibodies in your system, then you're probably not contagious. Well, he got tested, and he didn't have any antibodies. He also is one who lost his sense of taste and smell. And all throughout this time, he, even up until, I would say, 2 weeks ago, maybe three, he had his taste back, and then there would be days where it wasn't there. So it was intermittent.
Yeah,
like
what's his status with taste and smell now?
You know, he had the shot now, even though he had COVID. He did get the shot, and I guess I haven't noticed it since he's got the shot, if he got it back or not, if that made a difference. Because it was just so recent. I guess the thing that I'm really concerned about, which I wanted to ask the doctor, everyone else will go through their 10 days of COVID in the healthcare industry, and then they'll go back to work without being tested to see if they have antibodies. So could this be passing this along this way? Because he was told by the disease specialist not to go back to work because he could still be contagious not having antibodies.
Okay, let's let doctor comment on that.
Yeah, so we're kind of mixing a couple things here, Bo. So first of all, it's kind of concerning that he had the illness for that long and did not produce antibodies. So that's a little bit strange. So certainly good that he got the vaccine because now he should have antibodies. We know that some patients tested positive for great lengths of time. Mm-hmm. For the vast majority of them, we said once your symptoms stopped, 10 to 14 days beyond that, you're deemed to be non-contagious. That's by the CDC. So if he had continued to have symptoms, certainly probably should not have been back in the workplace setting. That being said, in the healthcare setting right now, we are 100% COVID 100% of the day. So we're wearing masks and gowns and gloves, you know, all the time
right,
now to protect
right,
not only
right.
ourselves, but the patients.
Is there any expectation that the vaccine is going to regain people's sense of taste and smell?
It really wouldn't make sense that would occur because the vaccine is really being taught to look for the virus, where this is damage that has already been done to a nerve
right.
that we're
going to
hope gets corrected.
Well, Tracy, at least nm.org, click on that and maybe let us know. We're rooting for your daughter, and I'm still optimistic. I have heard from some people who were out months and months, and they did get their taste and smell back, Tracy.
That's encouraging to hear, and this has helped so much.
Good luck.
It at least gives us a place to start.
Amen. Okay, Tracy, stay well. Thanks for your time.
Okay, Dr. Most?
Yes.
Would it be okay for my daughter to email you? She has kept like a COVID timeline since last August when she lost all this.
Hold on a second, gang. We're still on the air. So, Tracy, I'll let you and Dr. Most connect on that in just a minute. Dr. Most, thank you for your time as well, sir.
You got it, John. Take care.
He's always a font of information.